I want you to fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to try my best to unload about 3 weeks worth of studying on you in 45 minutes. So I want to tell you what happened, and you'll enjoy this. I'm going to preach on love tonight. And I'm going to tell you where it started. Before Lisa and I left for Colorado, I had been praying a lot, and the Lord began to deal with me and showing me certain scriptures about walking in love. Now, you know, you can study a subject and think you have covered it. You haven't. And yeah, I began to study it and study it and study it. And, you know, because I had had a little accident with my ankle, Lisa wasn't going to go to Colorado. And I said, listen, I would love to sit in a room and look at the mountains and read the Bible and pray for 3 or 4 days without. And that's what I did. And during that time, I just spent a lot more time studying this subject. And I have come to the conclusion that it is absolutely one of the single most important things you'll ever learn in your life. Especially if you want to be healthy. And we'll talk about that. And Brother Hagin, before he went home to be with the Lord, Mark Hankins told a story about how he would go to the meetings and Brother Hagin would preach on love and Mark would be so disappointed. He's like, no, not love again. I don't want to hear about love again. Well, how many of you know Mark needed it? So Mark and I had lunch in Colorado. The Berryman Trina's family is from Colorado, and they happened to be up at his in-law's house. Both of them, her mother and father both passed away, but they still have a place up there, and he was preaching up there. And he came and had lunch with us, and we had lunch for 4 hours. So just me and Mark. But I told him, and I said, Mark, I have to read your love book every week. And he said, no, you, talking to me, need to read it every day. And I know he wasn't being smart. He was being serious. And he was. I have not found anything in my life more difficult than agape love. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. But, you know, our flesh is just so. And you find yourself doing all kind of stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing that. You should be more patient. You should be more kind. You should be. And so I've been studying it, and I think tonight you'll really enjoy what we're going to do. So I'm going to start off with a story. So anyway, today I was talking to my niece, Brooke, and I don't know whether you're here. Brooke, everybody turn to the camera and say, hello, Brooke.
Hello.
You know, and I'll find out whether she was online. She's supposed to be. I told her, I said, go online and watch this tonight. Go with me to Luke 7, and I know that's not number one up there. Luke 7, and we'll start with verse 47. 7:47. I think that's right. No. We're going to start with verse 36. Luke 7:36. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, and he said, this man, if he was a prophet, would know who this manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered. Notice he answered what he was thinking. It's amazing how much you can tell what people are thinking. You've been able to do it too. And so Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the more? And Simon said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. This woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil. This woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Since I think all of us have noticed this, there are people on the planet that are more on fire for God than others. And I think it was Jim Neff asked me one day, he said, Pastor, why are you and I so radical? There's the answer right there. I was crazy. I have been forgiven much. I know who I was when he found me. And I know that. And I feel sorry for people. And I don't mean this in a bad way. If you've never smoked dope, chased wild women, or gotten arrested, I'm sorry. But those of us that are heathen and know it, I think we're better off. Because there seems to be a greater love when you know what you were forgiven of. I've had people come to this church that were kind of wild. And they said, you don't want me in your church. I said, oh, no. You're the very one I want in here, because you'll make the better Christian out of them all. You will literally go where most people are not going. So we're going to talk about loving God. I want to talk to you. So go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And I know you're going to enjoy this. You'll be challenged a little bit, but I know you'll enjoy it. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read a scripture that most charismatics don't read, because it's kind of everything that we believe in Jesus, and Paul is going, no. Yeah. Now listen to this. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love. Now we are the tongue talkingest bunch of folks you have ever met. I mean, we pray in tongues everywhere, all the time, constantly. I mean, we preach tongues. We talk tongues. We think if you don't speak in tongues, something wrong with you. You know, that's the way we believe. If I speak with tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, I am a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. You're just noisy. Though I have the gift of prophecy. Now look at this next word. And understand how many mysteries? That's a lot of mysteries, right? And we take pride in our depth. I will tell you, I'm deep. I've forgotten more than most preachers have ever learned. And there is a certain amount of pride in that, because somebody will start a conversation and I can give you 50 scriptures right off the bat, you know? And it's just the way that we think, we charismatic, faith and word, tongue talking, devil chasing, all the rules. We understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though we have all faith, so I could even move mountains. If you don't have love, it amounts to nothing. For him to say all those things that we deem important, and to say if you don't have love, it amounts to nothing, is quite a slap in the face. But it absolutely is true. Now, the next statement that I'm going to read to us is 1 John 4:8. If you go to 1 John, hold your finger there for the rest of the evening. We're coming back there a lot. We're going to spend a lot of time in 1 John. But anyway, we're going to bounce around here for a minute. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. It doesn't say has it. It says he is it. Now, think about this for a minute. If you and I are not walking in love, you're not walking in God at all. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Now, we know, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we know that God is love, and we're born of love. So there's no condemnation here, but we're talking about the war, and we are going to talk about the war, that goes on between your carnal nature, your flesh, and your heart. You're not trying to become more loving. You already are loving. But you and I need to learn to yield to it and practice it. Thank you. And practice it. And, amen, and there's ramifications for not. So it says God is love. Now 1 Corinthians 13, I just read that. And just 1 Corinthians 13:13 says there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now, back to what I said a while ago, out of all the things we preach, and we preach faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith works by love. When you're having a problem with your prayer life, I can guarantee you, if you'll go back to your love walk, you'll find the problem. Very often, it's in your love walk, because a step out of love is a step out of fellowship with God. Now, why is that? Because God loves people. God loves you. So let's use you for a minute. God doesn't like it when people mistreat you. And he doesn't like it when we mistreat his sons and daughters. So you have to understand, from God's point of view, God counts you very valuable. And he wants people to treat you well. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't watch it. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. Let me see. John 13:35. Pop it on the screen. I don't want to turn it in my Bible. John 13:35. I love my chair. I don't have to have it. I'm healed, but I mean, I'm enjoying this. So their love is patient. Okay. By this, all will know that you're my disciples. You run aisles, you jump pews, you go to church, you tithe. How? By your love. It is the only way to know you're born again. Now, before you get in condemnation, every one of us in this room have gotten out of love. It doesn't mean that our love walk has been perfected. It just means the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and we do love God, and we do love one another, but all of us have work to do. Thank you. I'm preaching right at you, and you ain't said nothing yet. I mean, I'm amazed that you hadn't. Anyway, okay. Okay, go to 1 John, back to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Where fear is, there's torment. Where fear has not been made perfect, we love him. We love him. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. The only motive you have on this planet to love people who are not nice, now listen to what I'm about to say, is God loves you and you aren't nice either. Now, we're going to get into a word here, deserve. What do you deserve? Not a thing. Not a thing. Here is what separates agape. I'm going to give you the best definition of agape you've ever had in your life. Has nothing to do with the other person. It has to do with you. For God so loved you. Had nothing to do with you. You did not deserve it. But he loved you anyway. Now, could it be that that's the standard he's asked us to keep? Yes, it is. How many marriages would get fixed if you'd quit demanding your spouse come up to you whatever it is you think they should be doing? You married a very, very imperfect human being. When you got married, you cut covenant. You didn't get a marriage, but you cut a blood covenant in front of God. You know what you said on the day you got married? I, Daryl, give Daryl to Lisa. My faithfulness to Lisa is based on me. It's not based on her. My loving her, my tolerating her, my putting up with her is based on how much God tolerates me and how good of a man I am. That'll change so much because God is being patient with you.
Amen.
Very, very patient with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So quit threatening divorce. Every time something doesn't go right. Now, if they're being unfaithful and they're going to bring a disease home, that might be a different story. And that's the only time God ever told you to cut the ties. Not because she burned the biscuits or she acts like her mother. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I'm doing real good. Listen to me. You have no idea how much this will fix it. Okay. I'm preaching better than your amen already, but I'm happy with myself so far. Okay. I'm going to read something out of a book. Now, if you want a really good book on walking in love, Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. Do you have the guts? I'm going to say it again. Do you have the guts to read the book? I'm telling you, I love this book. It's already stepped on my toes so bad, I've had to polish all the shoes in my closet. I mean, yeah. But let me tell you something. If you want to please God and you want to walk in health, you really want to deal with yourself. You want to. If you love God, you want to. Amen. Amen. So, the reason I say that is that that's how people in Wisconsin say it. Listen to this. Only by pride comes contention. All of the arguments, all the fights you've ever had, pride is at the root of it. What about me? Boy, y'all are amen and good. That is a hard scripture to read to yourself. You see, anytime there's a problem in our home, I'm pretty sure it's Lisa.
I agree with you.
And she's pretty sure it isn't. But that's human nature. Why do you think God makes you cut a covenant when you get married? Because it wouldn't last a week. When I came home from my honeymoon, I thought about taking her straight back to her mother. Just, dear Lord, I missed God. And that don't feel bad. She was saying the same. I missed it bad here, boy. I'm going to tell you right now. I did not marry the perfect man. Yes, she did. She just was blind. She's on the back row back there in case y'all don't know she stepped in. Only by pride comes contention. Are you experiencing bitterness and hurt or anger? Anybody in here ever been angry? God's word leaves no room to sidestep your responsibility. You might as well face it sooner or later because there's no other reason. You weren't born that way. It's not your personality. Your circumstances are to blame. Contention came in your life because of pride. Pride's not the leading cause. It is the only cause. How many of you know we need to hear a whole lot more on the love of God? Now I'm going to bail us out. The love of God, say it, is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. My Father is love, and I am love, and I can do this thing. All right, good. Similarly, say, have you ever heard of no-fault relationships? How about no-fault car insurance? No-fault relationships, you choose to walk in love and forgiveness toward all other people no matter how they treat you. Now, well, I'm going to show you in scriptures in a minute on how to conquer that. And you can conquer it. It's not as hard as you think, but you're going to have, there are certain scriptures you're going to have to really learn them. And they're good scriptures. They're good. They're good. Okay. If we live our lives treating people the way they, okay, no. Back up. The world's way is to treat others the way they deserve to be treated. That's the way the world lives. It's familiarly, express, scratch my back and I will scratch yours. Mess with me and you got another thing coming, baby. If you live your lives treating people the way they deserve to be treated, we'll be a mess. Why? People don't deserve to be loved. No one does. That's humbling. If you ever miss that woman you married, I got news for you. The man she married is as bad as she is. And vice versa. Why did God put you into a messed up world to see what you're going to do? Did you know the people in your life that are trouble are your training ground? How would you use love if you never had anybody to use it on? I'm not talking about nice people. I'm talking about the not nice ones. And if you are looking too far, God will bring you one to marry. Oh,
boy, that's good. Come on.
They say opposites attract. I don't know if that's true, but it sure seems like it is. Why did God make women so different? To confuse men. And why did he make women so? Listen. We walk through the world we're living in right now, and we're faced with circumstances constantly. But you have a choice to make. You can choose to be bitter or better. You can choose to walk in love or to be selfish. God placed you here so that at the end of your life, there's an angel that follows you around everywhere you go and writes down everything you say and do. Everything. Because God wants to stand before you and go, what'd you do with the woman I gave you? Well, how'd you treat the man I gave you? How'd you raise your children? What did you do with the friends I sent you? How'd you do in the church I sent you to serve in? Listen to me. You're in a test. Some people are flunking royally. But there's hope. Amen. Some people are making C's, some B's. There's a few A's. Are y'all out there? Do you go home? You're looking for the perfect world. There isn't one. And listen to me. If you get a divorce, the spouse you get is some other person's reject with double the trouble that this one has. Work on this one. I'm being serious. You don't know them. You don't live with them. All that Hallmark mess, forget it. They're just acting. Oh, y'all went quiet on me. Apart from Jesus, you aren't worth spitting on. That's quite a statement, isn't it? All have sinned. All. Everybody. So if you're married, you have a reject. But if you're a good woman, you can help him. And if you're a good man, you can help her. Are y'all out there? I want to tell you something about Lisa and I. We've really grown together a lot. She has really helped me to become the man that I am. I couldn't have done it without her. Some of it was good. Some of it was not. Some of it was lessons hard learned. Some lessons. But see, do you understand? That's you can take the relationship and you can say, this is going to work. Anytime Lisa and I have a disagreement, she gets her Bible and goes in the other room. That's not bad. Because sometimes God talks to her and goes, you need to go back in there and apologize. I love those times. And then sometimes he sends me back. You need to go. But I'm going to tell you something. We've both grown. I know by watching some of y'all, you've grown so much since I met you. You have. Just staying in a church any length of time with the people in this church, you're awesome. Somebody told me one time, says, you're a handful. I said, you should have seen me a few years ago. We've come a long ways, baby. And Betty May always goes, amen. I knew him when. Listen to this. Andrew, you traveled all over the world teaching God's word, healing the sick, ministering salvation. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost for decades, experienced many powerful encounters with God. Surely you have your act together. I hate to pop your bubble. I'm as human as you are. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Jamie's seen all my best, worst, and everything in between. She knows I still have problems. I don't deserve to be loved. In fact, if my wife gave what I deserve, she'd have divorced me a long time ago. It takes a lot of honesty to write that in a book. But I'm going to tell you something. Any man worth his salt will tell you his wife's helped him. And Andrew's mother said, Andrew, you know where you are to God because it certainly isn't you, buddy. He goes, I know them all. You don't deserve to be loved. Why am I saying that? Because the people God's asking you to love don't deserve it either. You're going to have to make up your mind you're going to do it anyway. That is the definition of agape. That is exactly the opposite of the world that you live in. When you make up your mind you're going to love your enemies and people, if you hang around anyone long enough, you'll find fault. That's when you know what you're made out of. So I tell people all the time, if you want dirt on me, ask me. I'll give you more than you got. I don't care either. Because I got over what you think a long time ago. Amen. That's why I'm still here. Amen. I don't leave churches. They leave me. They leave me, Lucille. Now, I'm going to read one more thing to you, and this is very good. Angry people are self-centered. It's the truth. Touchy, angry. Love is not touchy. That is selfishness. What about me? Do you know how that made me feel? Really? No, I don't. Don't care. What do you do with that? Your feelings are important. But love never fails. Amen. I'm going to get into this in a minute. You're going to have to get, the Bible says love others as you love who? And I'm talking about a goofy love. You're going to have to start loving the you God made. You have faults, but love yourself anyway. Quit picking on yourself. And when others pick on you, go, what of it? Sit around and worry about what people think about you? Do you think I sit around and worry about what you think?
No way.
Amen. I was telling Martha a while ago that when I got born again, I was introvert. You know how many people look at me like I've lost my mind when I tell them that? You're a liar. No, I'm not. What is introvert? Self-centeredness. I sit up here for one reason. I get nothing out of this except you. A man who's a real pastor shows up for you. Because if there's any other reason to show up, I would stay home too. And the reason you show up is because of love. You know, there's a family here, and that may, you may not get anything out of the service, but maybe someone needed you tonight. Yeah. Church is a family. Amen. Anyway, anger manifests itself through self-pity. Depression, emotional wounds. Whenever you're hurt, your flesh wants to magnify the pain on self. Although you can stop 90% of your depression and sorrow if you'll quit thinking just of yourself.
Amen.
Lack of concern of self helps to immunize you against hurt. As God's redeemed children, self provides an inviting beachhead for the devil's invasion plan. It's his preferred landing zone. Where the enemy reigns, self is exalted as all important. Self-preservation, even at the expense of anyone and everyone else, seems to be our flesh as a virtue worthy of respect. Me. But it says love is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful. Are resentful. And I first started reading that, I thought, how am I ever going to do this? Thank you. I'm going to read it one more time. Love, God's love, does not insist on its own rights. I got my rights. No, you don't. Its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And some days that's as far as I can read. You know, it's bad to not know the scripture. It's worse to know it. And walking around with a mirror in your face showing you have mud on your face. All right. How do you overcome? We're going to get to the good part now. Y'all all get excited. He loves us because he's good. Not because we're good. And that means that the love he has for us is unconditional. All right, now let's go here. Ephesians 1:3. This is how you overcome. Because when you know that you know that you know you're right with God, everything else lines up.
Amen.
What happens when someone other than God don't like you? Don't matter. Did you ever thought about that? If God, Andrew Womack made a statement. He said, God has my picture in his wallet. And I'm thinking, that's quite a statement. I mean, he has quite the mental image of himself and God. If God, Ephesians 1. These are scriptures you need to memorize and commit to memory. 1:3, blessed is the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed me and you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, as he chose me in him before the foundation of the world, that I would be holy without blame before him in love. You know where most of your insecurities coming from? Condemnation. What if there isn't any? What if there isn't any? What if God loves you just like you will? Because he's good. Wouldn't that fix most problems? Come on, y'all. Legalistic people, Christians, are mean. Do you know why they're mean? Because they think God is mad at you. Why would they think God is mad at you? Because he's mad at me too. What happens when you start reading thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not in your Bible? And you're going, I ain't never done any of this. And you're reading the law. The law condemns. You get up from your prayer time condemned. And your wife goes, you go take out the trash. Take it out yourself. She didn't do anything wrong. What happened? What's going on here? How do you fix this emotional turmoil going on inside of you? Grace. Say, I'm saved by unmerited, undeserved favor. That'll just calm you down, like, yeah, praise God. He likes me. Amen. Say, he likes me. He likes me. Okay. I'm not finished. I'm going to read another one here. You ready to go?
Yep.
Having predestined, that does not mean he picked some people to go to hell and some people to go to heaven. That's not what that means. He predestined us to adoption of sons by Jesus Christ himself according to good pleasure. The praise of his glory and grace in which he made us accepted. Have you ever heard people say, I'm just trying to find myself? You might want to find yourself right there.
Amen.
You've been accepted.
Amen.
When he went to the cross and died on that cross, he paid every debt you ever had, and you were raised from the dead. He cannot come live inside of you if you're a heathen. If he's in you, you are not a sinner.
Amen.
And if you are not a sinner, you're accepted by God, and he thinks you are like, wow.
Amen.
For God so, see, we make a mistake, John 3:16. God loves the whole world. Well, sure he does. But what's he love in the world? People. People. You, I'm accepted. Now, what if, God forbid, Lisa don't accept me? God does. Whoop-a-doo. Do you understand that? I'm not minimizing because people are people, but God ain't people. When you and I have accepted the fact that you're accepted in the beloved, that he loved you so much, if you were the only one, he'd have gone to the cross just for you. Man, you are something else. And we've never learned to think of people as being that valuable. We talk about pleading the blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood. And he gave the life of Jesus to buy you. You must be something awesome. You must be awesome. And you are. He created. You're created in Christ Jesus. As he is, so am I. That, listen to me, the love of God toward you is the single only foundation you have for loving other people. Because until you cover this one, you won't be loving.
That's right.
I found this out the hard way. Satan works overtime to point the finger, to discredit you, send people across your path to tell you what he thinks about you. And if you accept it, you're going to be all messed up. But that's not what God thinks about you. I'm doing pretty good, ain't I? Yeah. Let's go to Romans 8. I'm just getting cranked up here. Romans 8, 31. You know what? You already know what it says, and I haven't even got to it yet. Don't pop my bubble. Don't steal my thunder. What can I say to all these things? If God is on my side, it don't really matter whether you like me or not. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Do you ever think about the fact that he knew you were a knucklehead when he saved you? I told God one time, I said, you knew what I was like. Don't be upset at me. You knew I was a knucklehead. What you the one that came looking for me. He did, didn't he? He did, didn't he? If God is for you, Robert, it really don't matter what everybody thinks.
Amen.
But you know that, what I mean, that what that has this like, praise God. If God is on my side, he who began a good work in me, that'll blow your mind. He started it, and he's going to finish it. That'll calm you down. I'm just going to read it. Who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up for you. How shall he not with him freely give you all things? Who will bring a charge against you? It is God who justifies. Who is he who's condemning you? Is it Christ who died and furthermore rose and seated right now at the right hand of God praying for you? Is that your problem? Who will separate you from his love? Trouble, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, as it is written, you're killed. For your sake, you're killed all day. In all of these things, you're more than what? A conqueror. Now listen to me. If God is on your side, you're going to be fine.
Amen.
Now, what is the number one reason for fighting? Self-preservation. You're not doing that to me. You ain't doing that to me. What if nobody can do anything to you? I don't know what you think you're doing, but it won't work because God's on my side. Well, we don't like you. God's on my side. Yeah, do you think about that for a minute? Once you get rooted, now here's a scripture in 1 John. I don't have to. We have known and believed the love he has for us. Perfect love drives out fear. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to say it again. I read that scripture for years thinking that if I ever got my love walk, it would get the fear out of me. And I never did do it. I never conquered the fear. And one day the Lord said, you're reading it wrong. My perfect love for you will drive fear out of you. And I went, oh, if you love me, I ain't scared. And the fear goes, and where it goes? Good preaching. Now you understand, it ain't got nothing to do with you deserving. God ain't doing it for you because you deserve it. He's doing it because he's good. Now, that brings you and I to each other. Go to the book of James. Oh, I love it. How many of y'all want me to go back to Colorado for 3 days? I'll leave in the morning. Y'all should have seen people watching me walk around with sandals and wool socks on. They're like, What gives with the sandals and wool socks, buddy? I said, that's what Jesus wore. And they went, well, I guess he did. I said, that's right. Until they noticed one foot was a lot larger than the other one. Anyway, are y'all there? Are you there? I got to. Okay. No, this, it's fixing to get even better. James 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to Scripture, you'll love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Who benefits from you being merciful? That's right. Once you get that, you go, I have an opportunity right now to be merciful. Because the number one thing undeserving people need is mercy. I need all the mercy I can get. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to make it without mercy. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But there's a catch. It ain't automatic. So God is looking at you going, you want some mercy? Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to send you someone today who's going to be a pain in the butt. No, not another day like that. Yeah. And I want you to be merciful. Okay, God. Okay, I'm going to do it. Anybody had any people like that this week? Just
every day.
Yeah. Every single day.
Every day.
But these people, they're lost and on their way to hell. I had a man say to me one time, and I'm going to use the word he used, and I hope it doesn't offend you. I'm talking to him about the Lord, and he looked at me and he said, Mary was a whore, and Jesus is a bastard. And I'm trying to witness to him, to get him saved. And boy, he made me mad. I said, you sorry thing. I walked away, and I wanted to call down fire. Kill him, God. And the Lord said to me, son, when that man dies, he's going to hell. Why do you want to make his life miserable? This is the only joy he'll ever have forever. Leave him alone. As a matter of fact, bless him. Wow. Doesn't this kind of paint the picture a little better? So now that guy can't hurt me. The people that are in your life that you think you're protecting yourself from, they can't hurt you. So if that's true, and it is, what reason do you have to get torqued? You don't have any. But you have to train yourself to think like this. Now, I've been waking up every morning. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I quote Romans 8 every morning. If God is on my side, if God is for me. Now, understand something. You know your faults. And if you're in this earth, you're going to hear people who will every day will remind you of them. I may ask you to do something. Pay no attention. Who told you you had to respond? Did you know you're hard-headed? Yes. Do you know you're opinionated? Yep. So? Did you know that sometimes you preach hard? Yeah. At least I'm preaching. Who do you know you couldn't find fault with if you looked? What would happen if you turned them fingers on yourself? Go to Isaiah. How much time do I have? Oh, I got 15 more minutes. Go to Isaiah. I'm trying to close up now. Is this everybody? I want everybody to go, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. This is good. Lisa's like, yeah, baby. Oh, Isaiah 58. We're going to start with verse 6. Are you ready?
Yep.
Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo every heavy burden and let the oppressed go free and you break every yoke? That's what church is about. What are you doing in here anyway? There's people in here who are screwed up bad. And God brought you in to help them. And you can't help them if you think you're there. I ain't talking to them. That person is crazy. Everybody Jesus met was crazy. They were all demon-possessed. You know, a lot of people didn't like Jesus. Do you know that? If you walk with God, the people will not like you. They didn't like Jesus. They won't like you. If everybody likes you, you have a problem. You're doing something really bad. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring the house the poor that are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover them and you hide yourself. This is love. This is love. This is helping people, loving people, caring about people. That your light break forth in the morning, your healing will spring forth speedily, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, and you'll call and the Lord will say, here I am. If you take the yoke from your midst and the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness. Get your finger and put it back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Who in here can't do this? Have you heard anybody trying to eat fireworks? They're crazy. For breakfast and blow their mouth off the side of their face. I don't know what in the world this girl was thinking. Hang around somebody long enough. You'll have a pocket of dirt. Oh, yeah, you will. But cover it up.
Amen.
Put your finger away.
Amen.
Now think about that for a minute, because he's talking church. Do you want your light to bring forth in the morning and your healing to spring forth speedily and your righteousness to go before you and call and he will answer and you? He says, here I am. Take your finger and put it up.
Amen.
The next time you get into an argument with someone, listen to what Satan is saying to you about them. He has a list for you to remind them.
Yep.
And they have a list on you. This is called marriage fighting. Both people are right. Or you can go, well, he's still working on me. You know, one of the greatest things when you can say if you're wrong, I'm sorry. You're right. I did it wrong. Praise the Lord. What else do you have to say?
I didn't do it. You're like your mother.
I always used that when I was losing the fight with Lisa. I'd bring up her mother. That would always send her into a tailspin. She could not bring up my mother.
Let's talk about your mother.
And it was true. And she'd call me Peggy. My mother was the biggest powder You have, my mother could pout better than anybody I've ever met in my life. And she taught me well. But I'm getting better. And I don't care if you know all my sins. Keep your finger up. If you take the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light will dawn in the darkness. Your darkness will be turned to noonday, and the Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And from among those who build the old waste places, you'll raise up the foundation of many generations, and you'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So what does it mean when it says in the Bible, you shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself? It's so easy. Treat people the way you want to be treated. I want my wife to overlook stupid and vice versa. I want you to overlook stupid. I've done enough. Mark Hankins said to me, he said, you know, the people in your church who love you, they tolerate you. But the visitors will not. I went, thank you, Mark. I needed to hear that. There's people in this church, they would love me no matter what I did. You know, and they just love me. But there is good reason to just lighten up a little. And that's what he was trying to, you might want to lighten up just a little tiny bit. Well, actually more. And that's when he gave me the love book and said, read it every day. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would I, after preaching such a wonderful sermon, you know I know this, why would I need to read this book tomorrow morning? Because my memory is just not that good. It's just, I don't know, there's just something about before I get out of bed, I go, okay, I'm fixing to walk in the kitchen with Lisa, and what do I want to read before I walk in the kitchen with Lisa? Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. I'm not touchy, fretful, resentful. Take no account of the evil done to it. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to have coffee with Lisa. She's not perfect. But it's fine. I tell you what, the good in her is far outweighs. But you know, you have to admit, after living with me for a while, you have to become a lot better person. I told Mary Fran one time, I said, it took a lot to straighten her out. She says, pull this car over and let's let him out. Think about this for a minute. How many of y'all, all of a sudden, you have a very, very different perspective of love? Let me tell you something. The world needs it. I need mercy from you sometimes. Yes. I do. Amen. There are days when I come in and I do the best I can, and I still screw it up. I'll say something stupid. Lisa will call Megan and go, get it off the CD before it goes viral. I don't know why I said that, but just don't let the whole world hear it. And y'all are going, try this sometime. Get up here and talk and never do anything wrong. Just try it. Honey, it's embarrassing. I'd love to be perfect, but I'm not there yet. I'm further along than I used to be. Say amen, Barbara. Betty, you better say amen. But I'll be doing better next year. Because no human can live on this earth under condemnation. You can't live in it. You don't need it in your home, and you don't need it in your spouse, and you don't need it in your family. You need people who believe in you. There needs to be forgiveness, and there needs to be grace and mercy. If you're holding people to what they deserve, you're in the wrong. Because you don't deserve it either. Quit giving people what they deserve. Give them what they don't deserve. That's what God did to you. He gave you what you did not deserve. And that was unconditional love. That is what the world is supposed to be seeing in us. I'm glad to say that I've walked around this room and I've seen a lot of people who've changed a lot. I'm going to say something right now. It's going to sound like greasy grace. When you walked in, we knew you had issues. And it's okay. It's okay. You're in a safe place. You're in a place where when we see it, we'll go to God in prayer. Father, I remember when I acted like that. Be merciful. You'll probably get a hug when you don't deserve it. You'll get a love when you don't deserve it. And we pray that you'll grow. And I'm going to tell you something. When you finally give your last breath, you will not be perfect then either. Angels are not coming to get you because you are. They're coming to get you because he's good. Now, I got one more story. I got a few minutes. Please let me do this. When I was in Haiti, I had 53 students in a class. Street kids. In my class, most of them got born again. They weren't even saved when they came to Bible school. I led them to the Lord. So the first several hours, I went to Faith, said, can I lead them in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Most of them didn't speak in tongues. Most of them did not. And I said, Lord, help me to get 50-something kids. I mean, I don't have time to pray for 53 kids to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't speak the language. So I looked at every one of them and I said, I pulled a $20 bill out of my wallet. And $20 is a month's wages in Haiti. A month. Imagine a month's wages here. Imagine me pulling out several thousand dollars and saying, who wants this? You know what they did? Nothing. You know why? You know what they're thinking? He ain't giving anybody no $20 bill. And he's not going to make an idiot out of me. I stood and said, who wants this 20? And they look like y'all do right now. Dead quiet. So I walked back and I said, who wants this 20? And I walked by this boy right here and I said, you want this 20? And he wouldn't say anything. I said, okay. I walked on. Finally, a girl sitting back here behind where Tim is right now, very sheepishly took her right hand and put it here. Like, I would? I said, do you want the 20? And she goes, yes. I mean, she's scared of what I'm going to do. And I just handed it to her. And I turned around and I walked back up the front. And I turned to the class and I said, you think I'm going to take the money back, don't you? And they all went, yeah. Because nobody in their right mind would give $20 away. I said, I'm not. It's her money. I gave it to her. And this boy here, he had a meltdown. Because I just walked by waving in his face and he didn't take it. Month's wages. And I said, why did I do it? Do I know her? They went, no. I said, I didn't do it because she's good. I don't even know her. I said, I did it because I'm good. I'm good. You know why God wants to give you the Holy Ghost? Because he's good. 53 Haitians jumped to their feet and started talking in tongues. They reached up and went, you're not walking by me one more time with a gift and I don't take it. Everything you have in life was a gift. Quit charging everybody for your love. Give it freely. You have received. Now I got one more scripture. Now what are you going to do with love your enemies? Angela, say it. But you were the enemy. You were the enemy. And the thing that earmarked Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was compassion. He was compassionate. Nobody deserved anything he did. They didn't deserve to be healed. They didn't deserve to be forgiven. I want you to do something tonight. I want you to put your standard down. Lower all the expectations you have of what you think people should be doing for you. And bless them anyway. Do good anyway. And the meaner they are, is practice your love walk. And you will have an opportunity this week. You will have an opportunity. Lisa and I were in Colorado, and the two girls that waited on us at the coffee shop, God, I thought, what side of the bed did you women get out of this morning? I said, you have whipped cream? It's over there. Thank you. Are the cups? The cups are there too? I looked at Lisa and I went, she needs Jesus. I've had people like that do things, and I just reach up and hand them $50. And they're like, I said, you know, you didn't deserve this. You didn't even do a good job being a waiter or a waitress today. You did a terrible job. But I'm going to tell you, I was a heathen, and God had mercy on me, and you're a heathen, and I'm going to have mercy on you. You need Jesus. Here's $50. And they all take it. Woo, I'm done. I got 2 minutes left. I don't know what to do with it. Say, that was good. Next Wednesday night, Justin's going to be preaching on love again. How many of you know that by then you'll need it? I don't know whether we have any of these books left, but if you want to, we ought to get some more of them. I'll tell you tomorrow morning, I'll be reading mine. All next week, I'll be reading mine. I can't think of a better thing to do with my life than to learn to walk more like Jesus. Amen. And Lisa's over here going, thank you, Jesus. He's reading that book. Father God, thank you for this evening. I had great joy preaching your word to your church. People you died for, people you rose from the dead, people you love. You love us all. Every one of us in this room have need to walk in love more than we are. Our health depends on it. Our answers to prayer depend on it. And I give you praise. Let me read a scripture to you. I'm going to read one to you. I got prompted. I don't know if I said it. I want to do this. 1 John. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. You're looking to get your prayers answered and they're not being answered, you might want to go back to that scripture. Work on, if your love walks out of sync, it might be that God is not paying a whole lot of attention to you right now. We love him because he loved us, but he answers prayer because we keep his commandments. Amen. Anyway, I didn't know if I covered that or not. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful night.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5555. 5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.